Imagine this scenario. You are driving along and you slide through a stop sign. A police officer spots you, but instead of pulling you over, he contacts you via text. That is exactly what is happening right now in parts of our country where drivers have registered in the Trusted Driver Program. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Concordia University Ann Arbor's Justice with Honor, heard each week on Ann Arbor's talk station 1290 WLBY. And joining me each week on this segment is Dan Klebus, Assistant Professor with Concordia's Justice and Public Policy Program. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And our special guest today is Acting Lieutenant, he's Sergeant Todd Burdan with the Michigan State Police. He's also a sales consultant for Trusted Driver. And you are right on the verge of retirement. Is that right, Sergeant?
I am days away, Lucianne.
Well, congratulations. A long service, 25 years of service, and also you completed active duty U.S. Army in the Michigan Army National Guard, retiring as a master sergeant, chief military police instructor, and completed two combat tours to the Middle East as well. So we thank you for your service. We should also mention you worked 8 years at the federal prison in Milan, and you currently are up in Macomb at the Michigan State Police there. So it's great to have you on our show with all of that expertise. We're talking today about My Trusted Driver. What is this program? How does it work, sir?
Well, it's basically cutting-edge technology that allows police officers, law enforcement, to conduct traffic enforcement for minor traffic violations without physically stopping the motorist.
So I watched one of the videos on this, and it was pretty compelling. But the one thing that occurred to me was we're not supposed to text and drive. How do you alert that person? Because there is a stop that is made. It's just that the officer is not getting out of his car to have an encounter, a face-to-face encounter.
Right. If we run a license plate and that plate is in the Trusted Driver platform, it sends a message to the last known driver, and we could expound upon that. It's basically a text message, but all the driver has to do, and hopefully in 2022, we've all got the kind of hands-free devices for our cell phones. Literally, the driver has to tap their cell phone once to open up the message, and they have to tap the phone a second time just to self-identify as the driver. So there's not necessarily texting as much as it is like changing a radio station or changing the temperature on your heater.
And Dan, your first thoughts when you saw this, what did you think?
Well, it's a long way from the call boxes that we used to have way back when. And Todd, I don't think you and I are both too young.
Right.
To remember that, but I
read
about it
in my career.
But it's it's up and coming technology, and Todd and I happened to be talking one day, and it was just pouring cats and dogs, and we kind of reflected and said, would you get out in weather like this? No, but yet we still can do our jobs with this technology. So it's a great thing.
There's an even bigger protection here. We've seen some encounters go awry across the country. And so that potentially could help mitigate those kinds of situations escalating, couldn't they, Todd?
Well, no question. And that's really the crux of this group of retired San Antonio police officers that created this idea and this software. There's just what we call bad outcomes. There's good outcomes and bad outcomes. Good outcomes is a police officer does their job, the person gets a verbal warning or a citation, and they go about their day. Bad outcomes are anything from someone going to the department and lodging a complaint about something. Could be the officer and the motorist getting struck on the side of the roadway by a distracted or an impaired driver, to some type of escalation of force. And that's kind of what we're seeing lately is these escalations of force that are kind of derived from a minor traffic stop, a taillight, a loud exhaust, and it turns into an escalation of force or deadly force by either the officer or the motorist. So we honestly feel that with this technology, we could probably reduce in just for easy math, if we could reduce 50% of the physical traffic stops, the kind of the way we do it today, if we could reduce that by 50%, we could probably reduce a lot of things by 50% and a lot of those bad outcomes by 50%. So
this started down in Texas. Has it correct. Grown since it first came on the scene?
It is growing. There's a city in Nebraska that's just come on board. It's designed for the whole country. It's designed for everybody, for every state, but it's in its infancy. It started down in San Antonio. That's kind of where the working group down there is located at. And we eventually see this branching out into all parts of the country.
All right. In a moment, we'll talk about what it takes for a department to implement this, but let's talk a little bit more about how Trusted Driver works. When I watched the video and, you know, the police officer saw the person kind of slide through the stop sign and then went on the iPad and found out information about the car, first of all, and the potential driver, right?
Right.
Because you really don't know who's driving that car.
That's correct.
So let's say a teenager is driving the car. That text would go to the person who's registered?
Well, I'll start it from the beginning. And what it starts with is a family or a household or a company starts by going to mytrusteddriver.com and they create a profile. Within that profile, you're going to have basically all your drivers and all your vehicles. So in a family, you're going to have moms and dads or family, parents and kids. Sometimes you have more drivers than you do vehicles. So sometimes dads and moms drive different vehicles on different days, depending upon who's got what vehicle. So we create a profile. Each person, each family, each business creates a profile. What's required is you got to enter in basically your vehicle registration information, which is information we get at the traffic stop anyways, and then your driver's license information, again, which we get at a traffic stop. And then associated with each driver, licensed driver, is a cell phone number to a smartphone. That's kind of the crux of it. That's that technology piece. So that's all in a profile that's encrypted, and only those people that are listed in there have access to that. We don't, as law enforcement, we just have access to the information like a license plate. So let's just assume the profile's been made, and in your scenario, that young lady that gets pulled over for going through, before she gets in, let's say she walks out to her driveway and there's three cars out there. She opens up the Trusted Driver profile. She taps on the vehicle that she's about to get into. That puts her cell phone in that vehicle.
Oh.
It puts her in that vehicle. Because, right, cell phones are unique. That's my heart and brain.
That's right.
Nobody gets to have that, you know. So basically, that's the technology piece. So when the police officer runs her plate for rolling through that stop sign, she just had put herself in the driver's seat. So the Trusted Driver software works kind of in unison with the law enforcement network that department is utilizing. So they'll run the license plate. They'll get the return, a traditional return. It'll show the vehicle information, the registered owner. It'll also push it through the Trusted Driver platform, and it recognized the plate as being part of the Trusted Driver platform. So it'll create a text box on the screen of the in-car computer for the law enforcement officer. At that point, the officer basically has the discretion to, what do I see here? Is it just rolling through that stop sign, or is there criminal activity? If there's criminal activity, if there's impairment, recklessness, those have to be stopped. That we're obligated to, for public safety purposes, to stop impaired drivers, reckless drivers, and criminal activity. That's
how are you making that determination, though? Because a lot of times those kinds of things are ascertained when you get up to the window and someone appears to be intoxicated or doesn't have their seatbelt on or whatever the case may be, that you couldn't maybe figure out otherwise. Well,
right. And I agree with that to some degree. That is the old way that we used to do. We used to walk up on a window and actually find different stuff, more stuff.
Yeah, right.
But we're talking about 2022. We've got a lot of bad outcomes. So we're trying to mitigate some of these bad outcomes. So again, if you don't see impairment, you don't see any criminal activity, that's kind of using your law enforcement spidey senses. You know, what do I see here? So if we continue with the Trusted Driver, we don't see anything but that stop sign. We actually, through that little text box that come up on the in-car computer, the officer taps the button that says proceed. It immediately, within and with 5G speed sends a message to the cell phone of that driver that's in a hands-free device, mm-hmm. And basically ask her, hey, are you driving the 2020 red Chevy Corsica? All she has to do is open up the message, tap it once, tap yes, I am twice. She can continue on. The officer then has satisfied the statutory requirement of identifying the driver, because red light cameras, they only identify the registered owner.
Right.
So she has now self-identified. She can continue on her way. She won't be stopped on a busy roadway. It's not dangerous. She's not going to be late for school. The officer pulls over, finishes the ticket, and sends a copy of the ticket, which is the second statutory requirement. Identify the driver, send him a copy of the citation. So she gets a citation to her cell phone. The good thing is she can either pay that on her cell phone. She can set up an informal hearing, or she can contest the citation right from her phone. No more going to court. So that's kind of the gist of the way the process works.
That's really a unique aspect to this, not having to go to court, but you still have the ability to contest it. Do you have the ability, though, to engage the officer in that contesting? Because sometimes you can explain, well, what was going on or what you saw, or, you know, officers will ask you, do you know what your speed was?
Right.
You know,
and it's if you think about 2020 with the pandemic, we started going to court via Zoom. There was some struggles at first. There's a lot of old judges out there, a lot of old cops out there that were struggling with the technology, but we all got it. And I'll tell you, we're getting to an age where, you know, you look at those that are under the age of 35, they're pretty good with that cell phone. So no, but your question, yes. The police officer usually gets a subpoena to go to traffic court. They will get a similar, probably an email, that'll tell them, hey, this Zoom call or this time you got to attend for this ticket, and they'll have the ability to state their case. So,
wow, what an interesting piece of technology. And Dan Klebus, with your students over at Concordia University Ann Arbor, potentially a new track for them to learn, right?
Well, you know, I love this on many aspects. One is, sometimes an officer will see a driver do something exceptionally kind or well. Let's say the driver stops for someone crossing on a crosswalk. If I were to stop that driver and my neighbor were to drive by, there's the assumption I did something wrong.
Right.
You know, there's that negative connotation, and it's unsafe. Typically, the stop is done on the roadside. So this way I'm throwing myself in the pool here. We can send a notice to that driver, complimenting them, giving them a kudo on their driving habit.
Wow, that can go a long way, Todd.
It goes toward community relations. Yeah. And I like that aspect.
Todd, talk about that aspect.
Yeah. Thanks for teeing that up, Dan, because it is. That's another big piece. You know, we talked about citations and verbal warnings, and that's really what we get today. With Trusted Driver, we've got positive feedback. We want officers to go out there, and all day long, I worked my first 11 years traffic enforcement in the greater Detroit area. I've seen way more good drivers than bad drivers. It would be nice if we had a program like Trusted Driver that actually you can send positive feedback messages to the driver of that vehicle if they're in the Trusted Driver platform that actually would populate to their driving record. So when the police officer goes up to the window in the event of a real stop, we always ask them, how's your driving record? Well, we always know that's bad news, right? How many tickets do I got? How many crashes do I got? Well, now they can say, no, I've actually got a positive feedback message just a week ago. I mean, that is great. And there's also in Nebraska, I think it's Alliance Nebraska, if that's correct. They've created like a rewards program. Not only do they get a positive feedback message, but with that positive feedback message, you're actually going to give them like a rewards voucher, like $10 at the local donut shop or coffee shop or McDonald's. And the local community can kind of, you know, donate money to that program. And it kind of creates a more community-based feel for that.
Interesting.
So it's it's we're trying to get some positivity out of it
too. We're talking with Sergeant Todd Burdan from My Trusted Driver. You can visit mytrusteddriver.com. He also is on the tail end of his career with Michigan State Police as well as he gets ready to retire. Dan Klebus with us, who's an assistant professor at Concordia University Ann Arbor in the Justice and Public Policy Program. Educating the future law enforcement candidates throughout the country, doing a great job over there at Concordia. And you can visit cuaa.edu for more information about Concordia and its programs, cuaa.edu. And again, mytrusteddriver.com. So, all right, we get an idea of how this works. How do departments acquire this? What kind of buy-in does a police department or city have to have to implement My Trusted Driver in their community?
It's very simple. They literally just have to call me or go to the website. We'll go to them. We'll talk to them. We'll show them all the benefits of Trusted Driver. The software for law enforcement and for the ticket courts is free. The people that design this program and that run this company don't ever want law enforcement or the courts to have to pay for this. This is going to be paid for. It's free. And it's that simple. They've tested it. I've been told there's 5, 6, 7 different major law enforcement networks to run license plates, file checks, things of that nature. They have done the work. They've tested it against these other programs, and it runs flawlessly. So it's simply just software that needs to be downloaded into their system.
So I'm sorry. I'm confused. They don't pay for it?
It's free, correct. And this it's free for the motorists.
Well, who's paying for it?
Well, it's a good question. And the way the company feels, there's going to be money to be made on the backside, like Facebook with advertising, or even maybe a small percentage of citations on the back end of it. But as far as a monthly fee or a service fee or an annual fee, for the motorists, for the courts, it's going to be completely free.
That's incredible. How long has this been in play now?
It came out in January of this year.
Oh, brand new.
It kind of rolled out. So, yeah, brand new. And it came out in Windcrest, Texas first, and now we're getting a couple little cities that are coming on board. So it's a slow roll, but we're getting a lot of good feedback on it.
So, Sergeant, we'll have him answer that in a moment, but when you mention that there could be money being made on the back end, perhaps a percentage of citations. I get that aspect, but you mentioned Facebook, social media. And one of the concerns about social media for a lot of people is their privacy and information being given away. Is there anything that the user would be giving up for participating in this from a privacy standpoint?
Not at all. When they create their Trusted Driver profile, it's encrypted. The only people that can get in there and manipulate that information is the person with the password. Even I can run a license plate and get the information from Trusted Driver for that license plate and the driver that's identified as being in the vehicle. But as far as all the other drivers in that profile, all the other vehicles in that profile, I don't have access to that. And as far as utilizing the cell phone, that cell phone number never shows up. No police officer will ever know of somebody's phone number.
Wow. Is there any way that parents could be alerted if it's a teenager who's driving the car rather than giving that alert to the teen?
There are some parental controls, and sure, there's going to be some things that come about with the parental control aspect, and that'll all be very positive and create safer roads sure.
Dan, your question for Todd Burdan.
Yeah, you've rolled this out to a couple major agencies throughout the country. What about Michigan? Where do we stand?
Well, I tell you, I've been sending out lots of emails, lots of phone calls. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback and some people that I don't think they totally believe me, but they're becoming believers. I'm talking to a couple of agencies and I don't feel comfortable at this point kind of throwing that out there. But I'll tell you, just another little tidbit of information. A couple of days ago, I Google searched the first traffic stop in America. And it came back to 1872. And Ulysses S. Grant was pulled over for speeding in his carriage in a city in Virginia. Now, how true that is, I don't know. But that's what the World Wide Web told me. But you know, I got thinking about it. And it's 1872. So it is literally 150 years. That police officer had to witness the violation, had to signal to the driver, Ulysses, to pull over, and had to make contact at the driver's side door of the carriage. Do you know that 150 years later, we're still making contact at the driver's side door of the carriage?
This has been a long time coming. Yeah.
We owe it to society to find a new way.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Sergeant Todd Burdan from Michigan State Police. He also is with My Trusted Driver. You can visit mytrusteddriver.com. Back in a moment, talking about this unique program that was just debuted earlier this year of 2022. Dan Klebus with us from Concordia University Ann Arbor. Dan's a former police chief and assistant professor of the Justice and Public Policy Program at Concordia. You're listening to The Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY. We're back on Justice with Honor from Concordia University Ann Arbor. We've been talking about My Trusted Driver. This is a free program that lets you avoid traffic stops and courtroom visits for minor violations. Oh, you're still going to get ticketed, but it's going to be a much easier process all the way around, and you can still contest it. Our guests, Dan Klebus from Concordia University Ann Arbor, and Todd Burdan, who is with the Michigan State Police. He's a sergeant, and he also is a consultant with My Trusted Driver. Todd, this program sounds so great, and I get the idea of going to departments and seeing if they want to sign up for this, especially since it's free. What about doing it by state, though? Is this something that you think that governments could actually put into place state by state? Is that a possibility?
I do, and I see the application. It's going to take some time for people to get comfortable to it because it is kind of cutting-edge technology. And again, we've done this very traffic stop thing the same way for 150 years, but 5-6 years down the road, do I see the Michigan Secretary of State thinking this is such a good idea? Just from a pandemic standpoint, I know when the pandemic hit back in early 2020, basically certain agencies being told, "Hey, listen, we don't know what's going on. Sit in the median. Respond to emergencies only." We had a rash of young men in Hellcats and ZL1 Camaros running around our freeway systems at 100 miles an hour.
I remember.
We have to function in a capacity where we have to go out there and do traffic enforcement because it's what's good for society. So there's a lot of good points. Again, mitigating those bad outcomes. If we could mitigate 50% of those bad outcomes, I mean, I'm talking about shootings, lawsuits against police departments and communities. It's for the minor stuff. You know, we still have to go out there and be police officers. We still have to go out there and do those hard things and solve crimes and catch bad guys. But ultimately, when it comes to the little stuff, I think this is a good enough program. And there's even some more aspects I could kind of briefly touch over too. I mean,
yeah, tell us more about those. And I also want to ask you mm-hmm. about the fact that, I would assume that mostly the good citizens out there are going to sign up for this. The people that are going to do the right thing anyway. But let's face it, we've seen things get out of hand with very reasonable people, and you never know what can happen when emotions boil over. But on the other hand, what about those that are constantly out there causing the crime, causing the bad, the bad actors among us? Are they really going to sign up for My Trusted Driver?
Well, I don't think so. And some people say, I've heard some people argue, well, they're going to sign up so you don't pull them over. And then some will say, well, no, they're not going to sign up. And then, I working in the greater Detroit area for 11 years, 9 out of 10 people I stopped, all I found was the very infraction that I observed for the traffic stop. There's some, just the inherent danger of being pulled over on the side of I-75 or I-94 where there's traffic zooming by at 70 miles an hour. We've all seen the videos where cops and motorists have been schmucked by like a semi or a distracted driver. And then just the good people not wanting to get pulled over, just the inconvenience of it, being late for work, being late for school, losing a job. The fact that you can go to court or you can at least take care of your tickets online on your cell phone at your office desk or at home. You don't have to go downtown, pay $10 to park, wait half a day for your ticket to be called. And then it's just an archaic way of kind of handling those tickets. But from another aspect of Trusted Driver that we're pretty proud of is the medical tab. And this is it's not necessarily controversial. It just won't be popular with everybody, but information is power. And from an officer standpoint, I mean, for my 11 years working the road, every car was the unknown. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know who was driving, if they had any problems. We've got, if you sign up and get into Trusted Driver, you have the ability to offer information about yourself or about loved ones that might benefit law enforcement and themselves. It benefit the communication piece of that. And I'll list a few: deafness, autism, PTSD, anxiety, depression, diabetes, dementia, Alzheimer's, any other emotional or behavioral physical ailments, right? It would be nice to know as a police officer. And I had an unfortunate situation where I arrested a young man with autism because I thought he was impaired. Ended up lodging him at Taylor PD, only to have the prosecutor call me 2 weeks later and advise me that he had autism.
Yeah.
He was scared. He didn't respond to my field sobriety test. He wouldn't blow into my PBT. So I arrested him based on the faint smell of alcohol, and he blew a .02. Mm-hmm. So to this day, if I would have known that he had autism, I would have approached that traffic stop so much differently. I dare say that young man remembers every minute of that traffic stop. So that's just an example from me, and I'll bet you almost every officer's had an example similar to that.
Yeah, so. Autism is such a devil, and I have twin nephews who have autism, and we know the journey well. And when you're familiar with it, you know the signs, you know what you're looking for, you know
right.
how to handle. But when you're encountered for the first time with something like that, it is very hard to discern, you know, what the situation is and how to handle it. And I know, officers have gone through training on this, but still it can be difficult to know what someone's disability might be. And so to have that on record and know it from my trusted driver, that can go a long way. Do you anticipate then, because, you know, not everyone who has autism drives, I mean, is this something that could be used just for someone walking down the street that you might encounter that is registered with the program?
Right. Well, I've been told that this is more like a flip phone right now, and we're trying to make it an iPhone 13. ideas like that. Another quick stop I had on I-75 up in Lincoln Park. Older gentleman on the side of the road, pull over, talk to him, doesn't know where he's at, where he's going. Back then, there were no cell phones. This is probably 2000, 2001. I tell the dispatch center, this is the guy I got. Can you try to call the address on the registered, on the license plate? Get nobody at the house. The guy's antsy. He's demanding to be let go. He's healthy. He just doesn't know where he's at. He has no clue where he's going, but he wants to go. Mm-hmm. So I had to let him go, knowing I don't know where he ended up that night.
Yeah.
But another aspect of it with this health tab is we could put a caregiver, name and address. We could even put two or three caregivers down there, because one of the hardest things you got to do with your elderly parents is take away their car. So they usually drive probably a few months too long. So it would be nice if maybe, you know, if you got three kids, put all three kids as caregiver, put their contact information. So if dad does get confused or mom does get lost, they can call that. Again, your point, if we found someone like that.
And not only that, but it gives those siblings a chance to have better understanding at what stage of the game their parent is, because you don't always get all that information until sometimes it's too late.
Right. So we're going to keep building this out. There's probably a dozen good ideas that we could incorporate into Trusted Driver in the future. We just haven't thought of them
yet.
What a
great service. Todd Burdan, fantastic. My Trusted Driver, you can go to mytrusteddriver.com. Dan Kleba, some final thoughts from you on this new program.
Yeah, Sarge, we're running out of time here, but real quick, is there application beyond traffic involvement? What about probation, parole, sex offenders, things such as that?
Yeah, there's a tab that we can build, and it can be kind of filled locally by the local police. A lot of times you go to these addresses and there'll be, kind of resisting arrest issues, or there'll be things where maybe a complaint wasn't filed. Law enforcement will be able to put notes based on activities. And so again, that's another piece that we want to build out. It's all about information. If we know someone's on probation, if we know someone's got a warrant, if we know all this stuff, this is the stuff that, again, knowledge is power, and it gives us kind of the upper hand to actually, again, deal with it in an appropriate manner with appropriate response, that type of thing.
What a great tool. Just incredible. Yeah. MyTrustedDriver.com. Check it out online, and we'll see if it comes to a police station near you sometime soon here in Michigan. It started down in Texas. And our thanks again to Sergeant Todd Burdan. We wish you well on your retirement from Michigan State Police and your new career with the Trusted Driver Program as a sales consultant. Thanks also to Dan Klebus, Assistant Professor at the Justice and Public Policy Department at Concordia University, Ann Arbor. Visit cuaa.edu for more information about Concordia and its programs. And again, mytrusteddriver.com for more on our topic today. You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, the Lucy Ann Lance Show, 1290 WLBY.